From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The head of the UN's atomic watchdog says the nuclear crisis unfolding in Japan in the aftermath of the earthquake and tsunami reveals serious problems with how governments handle disasters. Yukiya Amano says nations are still taking too long to exchange information. At an emergency session of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Amano also said the agency's role may need to be reviewed. Japan's auto companies plan to restart production this week after the shutdown caused by the devastating earthquake and tsunami. As NPR's John Itzty tells us, rolling blackouts could disrupt production.
Most auto plants were not heavily damaged by the disaster, but they couldn't continue operations because damaged roads and gasoline shortages disrupted parts deliveries. Power outages also played a big role in the shutdown. While the transportation problems are being solved quickly, a shortage of power will remain a problem for the foreseeable future because of the grave damage to the nuclear power plant at Fukushima. As a result, auto production lines in its service area will face periodic blackouts. Following a three-day holiday weekend, Nissan, Toyota, and Honda all plan to resume assembling vehicles this week. Mazda plans to resume production of replacement parts. John Itzty, NPR News, Tokyo.
College students in Nevada are converging on the state capitol in Carson City to protest proposed cuts to higher education. Brandon Ritteman of member station KUNR is on the scene where the crowd's getting energized by a university ban to take on a deeply divisive issue for the nation.
This is almost entirely college students, although there are some people from K through 12 education here as well. But no, it's mostly students, and they're trying to take their message directly to legislators and to the governor. In fact, just a moment ago, a big crowd of students all walked into the Capitol, into the governor's front office, and asked his receptionist for meetings. They had to pass around one piece of paper so that hundreds of students could sign up to speak with the governor. He was not making himself available at that time, though.
That's Brandon Ritteman reporting. Median home prices are lower than they've been in the last 8 or 9 years. The National Association of Realtors found that homes went for an average $156,000, down more than 5% since April of 2002. And about 9.5% fewer people snapped up homes in February than the month before. More than a third of all of February's sales were homes at risk of foreclosure. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 187 points at 12,046 in trading of 3 billion shares. NASDAQ Composite Index up now 50 points at 2,693. From Washington, this is NPR News. The owners of the New York Mets are disputing claims made by the trustee responsible for recovering assets for victims of Bernard Madoff's massive Ponzi scheme. NPR's Giles Snyder reports that the owners, who are being sued for $1 billion, are defending themselves against allegations that they knew the financier was up to no good but invested with him anyway.
The Mets owners, Fred Wilpon and Saul Katz, say the billion-dollar suit filed by the court-appointed trustee is a work of fiction and that they'll pursue a vigorous defense. In papers they filed in federal bankruptcy court in Manhattan, they say the trustee makes false allegations about their relationship with Madoff and left out evidence favorable to them in order to force an unwarranted settlement. Madoff is serving a 150-year prison sentence after pleading guilty to bilking billions from investors. Trustee Irving Picard says the Mets owners ignored warnings that Madoff's lucrative returns were not real. Giles Snyder, NPR News.
A trial is underway for one of the defendants accused of burning down a predominantly black church hours after President Obama was elected. A federal prosecutor in Massachusetts said in his opening argument that Michael Jakes' actions were motivated by racism. Authorities have said that Jakes and two other men, all of whom are white, confessed to setting the fire. Jake's co-defendants have already pleaded guilty. Barry Bonds' perjury trial starts today, 8 years after Major League Baseball's home run king told a federal grand jury that he never knowingly took performance-enhancing drugs. Bonds has pleaded not guilty to 4 counts of making false statements and 1 count of obstruction. His trial is expected to last about 2 weeks. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.